And welcome back to the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time for my next guest. Always nice when we have a guest returning to the show, which means it went at least okay last time. And we're going to talk about a new book, 50 States, 1,000 Eats. It's where to go, when to go, what to eat, and what to drink. Welcome back, Joe Yogers. Good morning, and thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for having me again. It's nice to be here.
And, of course, I have to begin. I'm sure everyone who gets this, well, let's see what they have in my state. And, oh, my goodness, Illinois truly gets their due in here. But I also like that you go beyond. Of course, you pay homage to the deep dish pizza and such. But, you know, you got out into the neighborhoods. And that's what I see throughout the book. These are places you might not necessarily know that aren't exactly on the tourist maps throughout this book.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of got to mention the high-profile Michelin three-star places, but really it's about getting out and finding stuff that's in the hinterland and in the suburbs and in the countryside. Because I think that's some of your best food is, you know, in places that you least expect it.
Now, when you are planning a book like this, and obviously you can't go out and eat 1,000 things, or do you? Because that would be the most incredible book assignment of all time.
Well, it would have taken more than a year. I think it would have taken a decade to do that. But I tried to eat as many of these as possible. I really have to rely on family and friends, the editors and the rest of the team at National Geographic in D.C. and Northern Virginia, and just talking to people around the country about the places that I couldn't get to. You know, it's really, this book is an accumulation of lifetime eating.
Sure.
And it's especially an accumulation. This is the seventh in this series of books for National Geographic. And, you know, each of those required a lot of travel in the U.S. and Canada and obviously a lot of eating. And I drew on those trips and those places and then mapped out special trips to go on just for this book, actually.
One I read in here, just on the name alone, I didn't even read ahead. I don't want to know what kind of sandwich it is, but I'm seeing the Kentucky Hot Brown Sandwich. I'm like, I am curious enough to just order that without knowing.
Kentucky Hot Brown. Okay, got to go back through my my mind. Hot Brown Sandwich. Turkey and bacon. Open-faced, just on one piece of bread. It goes back to the 1920s, and it's called the Hot Brown because it's from Brown's Hotel in Lexington. And this, besides turkey and bacon, it's got a special cheese sauce that goes on top of it. So it's open-faced turkey and bacon with a cheese sauce. It's been around forever. Supposed to, you got to eat it hot because that cheese has got to be melted.
Oh, sure.
A little bit melted. So that's the specialty, one of the specialties in Kentucky. It's not just drinks.
Well, not you certainly, burgers. You can't have a room temperature hot brown sandwich. I mean, defeats the entire point of investigating it.
Exactly.
Now, being in a pizza city, I am far from a pizza snob. Some people like, I won't put this topping on a pizza. I'm pro pineapple. Put whatever you want. It's a pizza. All toppings are on board. However, white clam pizza, which apparently is one of Connecticut's most iconic foods, that's one that makes me stop and question, because it seems like you're putting something pretty wet on a pizza right there.
Well, it's just think of clam, you know, New England style clam chowder on a pizza.
See, that doesn't improve it at all.
You know, out here on the West Coast, we put pineapple and ham on pizza.
That's right.
And some people think that's an abomination, but I actually think it's pretty good. And pizza is one of the most flexible foods. You know, the crust varies in thickness. The cheese you put on it can vary a lot. And what you put on top of the cheese and tomato sauce, tomato-based sauce, can be just about anything. And somebody in Connecticut decided they were going to put something akin to a not-so-liquid clam chowder.
Okay, yeah.
New England-style clam. And I think it's good. It's you know, it's not soupy. It's not that liquidy. I mean, you think if you're putting tomato sauce on there, it's a little liquidy to begin with.
Well, true.
After it gets baked in a pizza oven, it comes out nice. You know, it's pretty firm and pretty tasty, and it's got a little bit of a seafood tang to it. So.
But I love what you said there, that pizza is flexible and everyone has their own definition. I just feel like certain cities, I don't know what it is, like New York, Chicago, probably L.A., that people tend to take their pizza personally. And while I think you can have pride in a local dish, I don't think you need to wrap up part of your identity in the food from a certain region.
No, but there are people who do. And there
For
are
sure.
people who make a big deal about whether you eat it with your fingers or eat it with a knife and fork.
Right.
John Stewart comes to mind.
Yes. Oh, I've heard that rant for sure.
Yes. He thinks it's an abomination eating it with a knife and fork, but, you know, in polite society, in a fancy restaurant, to me, it's like you got to eat it with your fingers. I'm sorry. But I'm a fan of deep dish. I'm a fan of thin crust. It's one of the things I really like about pizza is the variety. I tend to like meat on my pizza. A good pepperoni, there's nothing like a good pepperoni and cheese pizza. I could probably eat that every day for the rest of my life and not get tired of it.
See, you're not doing it right, and people automatically think the deep dish has to be a knife and fork. It doesn't if you know what you're doing. And I can't explain how it is, but... Do I have to do a video? I'm like, all right, I've eaten 5,000 of these in my lifetime. You can tell by looking at me. Here's what you do. And the secret is wait 1 minute. Wait 1 minute for it to kind of, you know, congeal together, and then you can pick it up. That's it.
Yes. Let the bottom, the crust cool off just a little bit. And, you know, a thumb on top and four fingers underneath and into your mouth. So...
I can't believe we have to discuss pizza eating instructions on a radio program.
A lot of foods are better with your fingers, I think. Burgers are better with your fingers, but I see people cutting them up, you know, and cutting them in half, and no, you got to pick up the whole thing and shove it in your mouth.
No, I don't want to, where was I? Oh, I'm going to cut this in half for you so it's easier to eat. I'm like, it's not, how difficult is it to eat a burger? I've never had a problem. Oh my gosh, I can't eat this.
Although I seriously wouldn't recommend picking up a steak in your hand and trying to eat it that way.
Oh, somebody has. Joe, I know you got a very tight schedule today promoting the book, so I just want to mention once again, it is 50 States, 1,000 Eats. It is now available wherever books are sold from the great folks over at National Geographic. We have been visiting with Joe Yogers. Joe, please come back and we will talk food anytime.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. I'm glad to be here and have a good one.